the privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne, see Him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before Him, all adore Him, as you live to love Him more, bow the knee. In His hand He holds the power of creation. In His voice He spoke and all things came to be. Yet He hears each simple prayer I bring before Him, when I humbly seek His face and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne, see Him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before Him, all adore Him, as you live to love Him more, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. Will take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, and I thought I'd have a little fun tonight. You want me to turn it on? Yep, I'm on now. I didn't want to blow y'all out singing. I have a tendency to do that. Romans chapter 8. We're going to talk a little bit about God. Maybe a lot. So there's a whole lot about Him and a little bit about me. But in Romans chapter 8, number verses 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I'm looking at that, and I understand that that first verse, number 28, is a token verse a lot of people like to throw around for every time somebody's having a bad day or whatever. You know that all things work together for good. And they even throw in there, for them that love God. There's a lot of people who think they love God. And I know that that verse don't always make me feel good. But I do know that God, at the end, is working all things out. Just that token verse itself doesn't do it for me. But to know that God is actually working things out, he already has a plan, he already has a purpose. Everything that I'm being tried on, tested on, tempted on, is being worked out for my good. He says we were saved that we might be tested. We were saved that we might go through temptation and trials to prove his love for us. It says here, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. The called. That definite article there definitely states out there's a particular group of them. Now, we're talking to the saved bunch. We're talking to the saved Christians. We're talking to born again. And if you're not, that doesn't mean that you're not possibly one of the called. It means that you just haven't been called quite yet. You still may be called. But the Bible says that there's a distinct difference in the them and the us. We know that we have been called out because we were at enmity with God and now we are at peace with God. We know that God has changed our hearts. We know that God has delivered us from that place called hell. God has delivered us from the wrath of God to come because we know in our hearts that he has done something to us. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, according to his plan. You see, he didn't just make us in the beginning and say, well, I'm making Adam and Eve and I'm stepping back and letting everything just rock and roll like it was and maybe some of them will come to me. No, he had a plan. He didn't cause Adam to fall, but he knew Adam would. And before Adam ever fell, there was a Savior. Before Adam ever made the wrong move, before even Eve even looked at the fruit, Jesus Christ already knew he was coming. He had a purpose. He has a plan. He didn't just happenstance all this stuff together. It says, and for whom he did foreknow. Now that wasn't God looking in the future and saying, oh, Charlie's going to decide to get saved and believe in me. No. That was not what God did when he foreknew me. But when he foreknew me way back yonder, he says, I'm going to purpose to save that boy. Oh, he's wicked. He's ungodly. But he's one of them that I'm going to save. He had a plan. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. God said that way back yonder. Now, I'm not there yet. But way back yonder, he said, one day that boy is going to be in the image of my son. He's going to be sinless. He's going to be upright. He's going to be sanctified. He's going to be glorified. He's going to be holified. He's going to be everything that a saint of God is supposed to be because I have planned it way back yonder. Way back yonder. Now, I didn't know that when I was growing up. It didn't even cross my mind that God had a plan way back yonder. But my Bible says, for whom he did foreknow. Now, if I'm standing here blood-bought, born again, saved by the grace of God, I know he foreknew me way back there. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ didn't die hoping that we would decide on him. If he'd have done that, that would have been fruitless. Because men won't come to him. Men won't accept. They hung him on a tree. They weren't looking for him to be their Savior. They was getting rid of him. They wanted to have their lust and their pride and their flesh and everything else. We can't have him. If they'd have wanted him, they could have done it then. If that could have been happening. But God knew what they would do. He says, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, he didn't just die to die. He died to save his people. Now, I don't know how many of the many are, but I've been told to preach the gospel. I've been told to preach to every creature that I can run across. Anything that'll listen to me talk about Jesus, I'm going to preach to it, because God just might be in the mood to save them. He just might do it. I don't know. I don't look at it and say, well, I don't like that look, so I'm not going to teach. No, if I did that, I'd be wrong. But I got to preach to everybody. The ones I like, the ones I don't like, the ones that look good, the ones that ain't good. Even in this bald headed, yeah, I got to preach to them too. It says here, moreover, brethren, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And let's think back to what Jude said. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. That's back yonder. And preserved in Jesus Christ. That's back yonder. And then he called them. So now we're here at the call. I just had to help you get there. I had to get you to the call. First of all, I got called because something took place way back there in God, sanctified me. I didn't realize that. I do now. I didn't realize that he was going to place me in Jesus Christ. He didn't even ask me. He didn't even ask my opinion. He said, I'm going to save that boy whether he likes it or not. And you say, well, why wouldn't you like it? I do love it. But when he was doing all that, I wasn't liking it too much. Then he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In other words, wait a minute. What about those folks that ain't getting saved? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but they hadn't been called. They may have heard a good message. They may be acting religious. They may be doing something. But it says, whom he did predestinate. Those who are going to be like Christ. Those who he's placed in Christ, he will in no doubt not miss a one. He's going to find every single one. I don't care if you're on your deathbed at 90. Wherever you're at, if you're one of those that he has called, that he has chosen, he has predestinated, he will find you and you will believe. He will effectually work on you. He will effectually put you in a place where you'll say, I have no place else to go but to God. I have no place else to fall but on Jesus Christ. It says if you'll fall on that rock, you'll be saved. But if that rock falls on you, you're going to get crushed. He says, and whom he calls, he justified. Wait a minute. Somebody had to pay my sin debt. Somebody had to stand in front of God and make me right. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, that blood was presented to God himself. That death justified me because of my belief in Christ Jesus. That death fixed it where I could stand in front of God, uncondemned, as if I had never sinned, forgiven of my sins. It says here, first of all, it says, those he called, he justified, and them also he glorified. Not only did he justify me, but he has fixed it where I am now seated. He sees me seated in the heavenlies. I'm already placed. Now, some of these folks down here may not see me that way. But in God's eyes, I'm already sitting in the heavens. I already have my spot. And it's going to be a glorious spot. I have been glorified. You see, one of these days, this sinful body's going to be gone. This wickedness and stuff that dwells in me, it's going to be gone. And I'm going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be something I ain't never been before. And it's going to be something I ain't never had before. Because all I have known is sin. All I've known is sin. But one day, I'm going to walk sinless. Justified. Glorified. Sanctified. And then it says here, my Bible says here, what shall we say to these things? A saved man, what would he want to say about these things? Except for what God has done for me, right? What can we say? He saved me. He delivered me. He brought me out of darkness. He has done all these things for me. But it says, what shall we say to things if God be for us? Who could be against? In other words, If God, from the very beginning, before anything was ever done, says, I'm going to save that boy or that girl, that man, that woman, who in the world would want to say something against? Who can say anything against that? Who would want to fight against that? Who would bow up against God and say, God, you're just not going to save me. I'm not going to let you. Who has that kind of power? We heard this one. First of all, you can't jump out of his hand, and when you get it, you won't want to jump out of his hand. And I'm not going, no, he's going to have to run me off. I'm going to grab his coat leg and hang on to the end. I'm not leaving. I know where I was headed. I know what he's done. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you? If God has chosen you out, if God has delivered you, if God has brought you from the deep and set you on the solid rock, the only thing we could say is praise God, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. What can we say to these things? We can start saying, God deserves the glory. God is the one that deserves all this. He is holy. He is righteous. He is praiseworthy. What can we say to these things? There's a lot we can say to these things as the church. And I know where I came from, but I also know where I'm headed. And I know why. And it wasn't because of me. I wasn't hunting God. He was beating me down, but I still wasn't hunting him. I wasn't looking to get in church. In fact, that's the last place I wanted to be, going to a church house somewhere. I'm serious. But when he hemmed me up in that yard, showed me where I was going, and he says, it's you I'm here to save today. It's you. Oh, I know what you are. I know how you are. I'm going to save you anyways. And I cried like a baby that night. I said, man, that is some kind of love that he would go to a cross. That he would shed that precious holy blood for a wretch like me. Oh, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. He said, what shall we say to these things? And he that spared not his own son. That's hard to get a hold of right there. Now that verse is just if you got any glimpse of what happened to Jesus Christ, you say, and it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased the Father to bruise him. That's hard for me to swallow. This is happening. It was explained to us this morning. His beard being plucked out, the whips on his back, the hanging on the tree, the mocking, and the spitting, and the buffeting. And he did it all because he loved me. And if you're a believer, because he loved you. He says, he spared not his own. In other words, he didn't just sort of come. He definitely didn't come here and then about time for the crucifixion, his spirit run out of him and just left a... No, he, in as God, hung on that tree. As man and as God, he hung on that tree. He died for the sins of his people. He didn't swoon. He didn't go to sleep and they put him in a thing and he rose up later and woke up. He died, graveyard dead, on that cross. He gave it up himself. He gave up the ghost. They didn't take it away from him. He gave it up. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now that's not all the world. That's us all that believe in Jesus Christ. That's us all who have been called out. That's us all that's been justified. Us all who have been glorified and sanctified. That's the us all. Now, I don't know. There's probably some more us alls around here when that time comes. But for us all, I'm not picking nobody out. I want everybody to be an us all. I want everybody to be in the family of God. But I'm going to preach it that you might believe it. And God will do the saving. He's the Savior. I'm just a preacher boy. It says here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's that elect word there. I should have scratched that word out. Of course, I know there's some other places where it says, knowing your election brethren. That word is all over this book. So undoubtedly it's a good Bible word. It's a good word to be studied. But it says here, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? All right, there's a lot of people out there that might say a lot of things about what I believe and what you believe. They might even make me feel bad, hurt my feelings. But they can't change what's happened. They cannot change the fact that God has saved me. They can't just look at me and say, oh, those people, they're a bunch of this or that or whatever. They believe this about God and God don't do that. I don't care what they believe. I know God is sovereign. I know God saves who He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to, according to His plan, according to His purpose. Who could lay anything? That's why it's so bad that we don't even pick on brethren. Who can lay anything to charge God's elect? I don't sit here and try to pick on my brothers and my sisters, because each one of us is being brought up and carried up as God lifts us up and picks us up. We grow up at different spaces and different things. Just because you may not be where I am and I may not be where you are, that's no need for me to beat you up and try to lay a charge on you. If God has saved you, if God has called you out and put you in the family of God, I have not a word to say against you. Unless you get in some gross sin or something, we'll have a little conference. But the thing is, I am not to call you out and pick on you and to put you down. I'm not supposed to bring a charge against you. That's the devil's work. The devil loves to accuse us. The devil loves to bring us down. The devil loves to say, look how he's doing, or she's doing, or whatever. He's the accuser. I'm not your accuser. I'm just preaching the word. Tell you what it says. It says here, who shall bring any the charge against God's elect? It is God that justified. If God's the one that justified me, if God's the one that's justified you, if God's the one who has saved you, I shouldn't be saying, well, I wonder why he saved that old boy for. Does he know what he got? Yeah, he knows exactly what he got. He knows exactly what she was and he was and I was. If God has saved us, then it's not my job to call you out. It's my job to shepherd you and lead you and guide you. It says here, who shall lay anything? Who would want to? But we know the world would love to say, look at them Bible thumpers. They accuse us all the time. Somebody had a verse in a book I was reading that said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We should not get offended. That don't mean we've got to go fight with them. But they're going to talk bad about us no matter what we do. Even some folks who claim to be Christians are going to talk bad about us because they don't believe it quite like we believe it. I believe God had a purpose. I believe God had a plan. I believe God saves people He wants to. I believe He chose folks out before the foundation of the world. He wasn't wringing His hands up there and said, oh man, I just hope Charlie gets it this time. That wouldn't be a very good God. If He's got to sit up there hoping and praying that I might do something, He's not God. My God has already determined the beginning from the ending. Now I'm sure that when I sin, I don't please Him. And He doesn't make me sin. But He saved me from my sin. He delivered me from my sin. And oh, do I feel terrible when I do sin. But the good thing is, He don't throw me out with the bathwater. He's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sin. Not when we do, but we always do. When we confess our sin, He will forgive us. It says here, who is it that condemneth? Who's going to condemn me? Who's going to condemn you, a believer in Jesus Christ? It is Christ that died for you. Who's going to lay a charge against you? Christ paid that charge. Christ paid that debt. Christ paid it in full. So who's going to lay a charge against one of His elect, one of His saved ones? There's no one who could legally, because Christ stood before God and did the justifying Himself in His own body, with His own flesh, with His own blood, that we might go free. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen. He's not in the grave. Oh, He was there for 3 days, 3 nights. He ain't there no more. He's sitting up there in heaven. He's sitting up there at the right hand of God. He has all power. He has all authority. He can do what He... You understand all power, all authority? He can do what He wants to. He doesn't have to get my permission. He doesn't get your permission. He does what He will. He always has done what He will. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. That us is those who believe. Look, you say, well, I'm already saved, I'm born again, I'm justified. What do I need somebody making intercession for? Boy, because I'm still a sinner. I need someone who, when I pray wrong or get it wrong or don't do something right, wrong, I got somebody between me and God the Father who's saying, Father, I died for him. Father, he's under the blood. Father, let me fix that prayer. Father, let me bring it to you the way it should be. Father, let me make intercession when he's over here and he's over there doing this or that. Let me intercede for him because he's under the blood. I need an intercessor. And I don't need a pope. I don't need a priest somewhere. I got the highest priest there is. I got Jesus Christ himself. And he makes intercession for me. When I do wrong, I take it straight to him. When I mess up, I take it straight to him. And he fixes it with God. Because everything I ever do or ever have done was buried in Jesus Christ. He paid for every bit of it. Even the one I may do tomorrow. And I don't want to do one tomorrow, but it's a good possibility I'm going to sin tomorrow sometime. He's even paid for that one. It is so understandable. When we're saved, we got so much that God is continually forgiving us of our faults and our iniquities and our downs. He's ever making intercession. Then it says, who? Who? That was brought up this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Wait a minute. He talked about this morning how he was on that cross and all the bad things that happened to him during that trial and the scourge and all that. This man, God, God-man, Jesus Christ, endured every bit of that I could go free. Wait a minute. Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? If Christ and God are the most powerful things there is, and Christ suffered so tremendously that I could go free, that I could be in the family of God. There's not a thing in this earth that could separate me from the love that is in Christ Jesus. There's not a devil or a witch or some kind of thing out there that can take me out of the love of Christ. It says here, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, if I'm being tested and tried and going through hard times and things just go terrible and things have been terrible here in the last few months and every one of us has been through some things in the last few months, even in the last few years, and things have went rough. Shall tribulation separate me from the love of Christ? No way. I don't care how hard it gets. If God has saved you, if He has placed you in the family of God, I don't care how rough it gets, He will never cast you out. You cannot be separate. You might falter. I might falter. But He will never fail. Then it says, how about distress? Got a hurricane coming or a flood coming or a fire coming or the car note's overdue and we just don't know what to do with it. Shall those things separate us from the love of God and the love of Christ? Absolutely not. These things that happen on this earth, these things that happen in our flesh, cannot separate us from what God has already done in Christ Jesus. And then it says, how about persecutions? And we haven't had much persecution in America, so to say, but it could very well happen. It could very well be starting to happen. Because if we look at our country right now, we get more and more Muslims and different religious groups taking over and things like that. Well, do you think that they just love us to death? Probably not. But it says here, not even persecution. They could beat us. They might even drag us on the street and kill us. They might put us in jail. They might be doing a whole lot of things to us. But there's one thing they can't do. They can't take my salvation They can't take away the love of God. They can't take away what's in Christ Jesus. They can take away everything else. And if that's what it comes to, I'll willingly let them have it. Hey, you want it? Take it. I still got Christ. And until I take my last breath, Lord willing, that's the way I'm going to stand on it. Who knows what a man might say when he's being tortured or whatever, but Lord willing, I know I can't even lose it then. If I said something wrong, I can't lose it. The Bible says, or famine. Let's just think that all the corn and all the wheat and all the beans and taters go away. Could that separate us from the love of Christ? Absolutely not. Man, we eat good today. But if we'd eat little, it'd still been the same and we'd still been in the love of Christ. We'd still been just as loved by God. Now, I like eating. But if it comes a day when we can't, that can't take me out of Christ. That can't take me away from what God has done for me. That cannot take away me being called in the family of God and saved, born again from above. It says here, how about nakedness? Man, that's so disgraceful that they're naked. You know what? It would be better to be in Christ and naked than have on the best suit in town and be out of Christ. Now, I'm not saying we need to run around naked. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if it come down to where I ain't got no clothes left, I'm still in Christ. That won't get me out of Christ. Y'all may look at me and say, oh boy, that's ugly. That's fine. But I'll still be in Christ. I'll still be praising God. Then it says, how about perils? Man, all the time we're going around, we hear people all the time, oh man, everything's going so bad, everything's going around. Man, you should know what's going on in my life today. How about them perils? Even when we're all running around a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off, if you're born again, you can't lose it. You're still in Christ. Perils can't even do it. And that poor old sword. Now, sword would be quicker than famine. But even if somebody came in here and shot me or shot one of you, they could not take you out of Christ. You can kill me. I don't want to die. I don't even want to get killed. But I'd rather fear the one who not only can kill me, but can also cast my soul into hell. He will not cast my soul into hell because he has saved me. He has born me again from above. And I like the way when Nicodemus said, how do you get born again? I never one time in that chapter saw Jesus say, well, here's what you need to do to get born again. Not one time in that chapter does Jesus say, well, Nicodemus, here's what you need to do to be born again. No, he just says you must be born again. And he talks about the spirit and the wind blowing around and how it works. But he never wants to, now if you'll just do this, you can be born again. No, being born again is not something that we can work out. Being born again is an act of God. Being born again is God doing something on us and in us and through us. It says here, as it is written, this verse struck me kind of odd when I first started studying that out. As it is written, for thy sake, for thy sake, for his sake, we are killed all the day long. And I'm sitting around, in this day and time, that's not taking place. Well, martyrs overseas are being killed all the day long still. There was a missionary I heard about just the other day. He went somewhere and he hadn't been there but a few days. He got killed. For thy sake, for his sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But these sheep for the slaughter have a purpose. These sheep for the slaughter bring glory and honor to God. We may die here. We may be one of these sheep that are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But even that cannot separate us from the love in Christ. Says here, it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, he has saved us to use as he sees fit. He could do what he wants with us. We didn't get saved to have this little rosy walk down the street and everything's, but we're supposed to get prosperity. Now, don't get me wrong, we get prosperity and stuff like that along the way, but we weren't like some of this TV stuff where if you'll just do this or that, God's going to make you rich and give you all your pleasures and he owes you all this because he did this, that, and the other. He don't owe us anything, but he uses us as he sees fit. He's going to get him some glory out of us because he's God and we're the creature. says, for his sake, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then it says, nay, in all these things, in all these things, and we go back to that, tribulations, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, swords, even being accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Not me, him. Through him. He is our Savior. He is the one we've been placed in. Everything that God looks at, he looks through Christ to see us. That's why a lost man outside of Christ can't get to heaven. Because he ain't going to look at him like he's looking at Christ. We're supposed to be conformed into the image of Christ, because when God sees us, he sees us through Christ, through the blood. Outside of that, I couldn't stand up and let him look at me like that. I couldn't stand before God and make any petition. Outside of Jesus Christ, I couldn't do anything. But because of what Christ did, I can come before him boldly, before the throne of grace, and I can make my petitions. It says, and I love this, for I am persuaded. That doesn't mean he's thinking, he hopes it is. He's persuaded. Persuaded means, I don't care how you twist my arm, I don't care how you poke at me, I don't care if you stab at me, whatever you say to me, I am persuaded. I'm not going to change my mind. I am settled. I am seated. I will not back off from this statement. I am persuaded that neither death, not even death, neither death nor life nor angels, not even a bunch of angels. And we know how powerful angels can be. We've studied some of that stuff. And neither angels nor principalities, them old demon guys, we know how strong they are too. Not even a demon, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We've got to get that last part in there. It won't work, right? Outside of that last little part, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can claim to be all you want to, but if you're not in Christ Jesus, all of what we just talked about is null and void. Null and void. But it says here, and I'm persuaded, and I like this, that I am persuaded that neither death. I'm going to die one day. You're going to die one day. Most everybody I know dies one day. Now, I'm looking for the rapture. I'm kind of hoping that I'm in that rapture real quick-like. But if not, ain't no doubt about it, I'm going to die. And so are you. But that can't separate me either. That can't cause me to lose anything. When I die, Paul said what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Then he says, it's better. I'd like to go on up there. I'd like to go, but I'm ready to be there now. But Paul said, but it's needful that I stay here with you guys. He needed some books to write. He needs some people to preach to. Well, I'd like to be there too. But it may be needful that I stay here for a while. It may be needful that you guys stay here for a while. But it may be somebody you need to witness to. There's somebody you need to preach to. There's somebody you need to talk to. That's why we ain't just flew right on up when we got saved. Because it's needful that we spread the gospel. It says, I'm persuaded. Death can't do it, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor even coming down the road. That stuff that we worry about that never happens, things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature. I don't know what them other creatures look like, but I'm going to tell you what, they can't do it. Whatever they may look like, he can't get you out of Christ. And it says, nor any other creature could separate us from the love of God that put us in Christ, because of which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I've been studying this book a little while, and I've been noticing there's a lot of that in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. If you read through this thing and you start marking down in Christ, you'll find out, if I'm in Christ, I'm in good shape. If I'm not in Christ, I'm not in good shape. I definitely want to be in Christ. I want anything that has to do with Christ. Whatever it is, if they give it away, even if I got to buy some of it, if it's in Christ, I want some. because it's good to be in Christ. It's good to put your faith and trust in the one who can save you, the one who can deliver you, the one who died for his people. It says, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. God loved his Son so much, he says, I'm going to create a world of people, and they're going to be rebellious and everything that is against us. But Son, I'm going to pick out some out of this nation and out of that nation, out of this tongue and out of that country, and I'm going to place them in you. And there will be a day and time that each one of those people will believe on you, because I have placed them in you before the foundation of the world. There's going to be a day and a time when he's going to call his people out. And here's the thing. He will never lose one. These people that talk about, well, I can jump out, or well, I decided I didn't want this stuff or whatever. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be straight up with you. If you decided you didn't want it, you were never called out of darkness. Because if you'd prefer hell, if you'd prefer darkness over Jesus Christ, he has not effectually dealt with your heart. He has not hemmed you up. Not that he can't, and not that he won't sometime. But as of now, if you aren't in Christ, the only reason you aren't in Christ is he's waiting. He's there. He's not waiting for you to make a decision. He's not hoping, oh, please, I hope they get it this time. No, if you're going to be saved, there's a day and a time marked out for you. I don't know when your time is. Tonight might be your time. Tonight be a good time. He says, in the day of salvation, I succored you. In other words, I helped you. On the day that he saved me, as bad as I was kicking and screaming against what he was trying to tell me, he helped me to understand. He pulled me into the light and showed me what I needed. And most people that I talk to, they didn't just, if they're in Christ, if they've been going to church, stayed by the stuff and stuff like that, God opened their eyes to where they were going. God scared them to death. He said, for grace showed me the fear, and it was that same grace that relieved that same fear. God, with his mighty grace, can scared me to death, and with that same grace, he relieved that fear, says, I've got you. I've saved you. I'm bringing you home. That's what God does. Now, if God has dealt with you tonight, please let us know. Not that we need you to do something special, but we want to know what God did for you. If you're saved here tonight and you've never let the church know you've been saved, you've never let the church know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Just tell us. Because every one of us went through the same thing. Every one of us had to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. Every one of us had to be at the place. In fact, I remember this. The weekend I got saved, I knew I was saved. My mama thought I'd been saved back when I was 17 years old. She had that, well, he got baptized and all that. I went to my mama's house. I said, Mama, there's something new. She said, I could tell when you got out of the car. I could tell when you stepped out of that truck that there was something different about you. I said, yeah, Mama, I got saved. God saved me. He delivered me. I ain't what I used to be. And I talked to her there in the kitchen there with her. She says, son, you're not, there's something special. I said, you got it. What I had back there wasn't it. But you were baptized. I said, yeah, but that ain't it. I've been saved. I've been bought again. I've been born from above. And on the way home that night, I'm sitting here. It was a Sunday night. I'd been to church that morning. It was a Sunday night. And I'm sitting here, what would a good Christian do on a Sunday night? I said, well, man, they're going to have church here in a little while. So I left my mama's house and I went to a church house. And I praised God. And I sang songs. And I started learning some things. And then they said, well, you need to come back on Wednesday. I said, oh, no, preacher. I mean, this Sunday stuff's one thing, but coming back on Wednesday too? So on Wednesday, something got into my heart, and it says, why don't you go on up there on the church house on Wednesday? I said, okay. I ain't got nothing else to do anyways, right? So I go up to the church house on Wednesday, and they're praising God, and they're singing hymns, and they're making glory to God. And I'm saying, you know, this ain't half bad. Well, you know what? I think I could probably count on one hand in 20 years how many times I've missed a Wednesday service or a church service. And they're very few. Not trying to brag on that, but I'm just saying, when God changes you, when God gets a hold of you, you want to be around God's people, you want to be around God's stuff, it makes a difference. Now, I understand it grows each one of us up a little different, stuff like that. But you just don't know what you're missing if you ain't coming every time. Who knows what I might say? But if God has dealt with you, please let us know. Brother Keith.